Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Other people seem to be growing in their Christian life. They have joy. They have excitement. They're learning and growing and going on in the faith, and I'm stuck. Then go back where you said no. Stop a minute and say, okay, God, where did I shut down? Where did you and I go at it face to face, and you said this, and I said, no, sir, and I'm stuck.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Just Quit. And it seems like such a simple job. A lady came up to me even today before this started and said, what are you going to talk about today? She said, I just quit my job last week and I want to make sure it's not, what are you going to say? And I said, well, it's not about that. Although some people say, you don't like your job? Just quit. That sounds really simple and easy and sweet and clean. The problem is if you don't have another job, how are you going to eat? How are you going to pay the bills? So the just quit thing sounds great, but in reality, the practicality of that is rarely the answer. Now, there are people who would say just quit and you get enough. You say, you know what? Being broke and homeless would be better than this job, so I just quit. I'm out of here. And some people do that, and it's hard to walk in the next day at times after you've said that because you may just get the opportunity to do that. So just quit is simple in a job, but what if somebody comes to you and you smoke? Had this conversation with a really good friend of mine who smokes. And I have enough of a relationship to go at this person about this particular deal because it's a thing they're dealing with and struggling with. And I said to this individual, why don't you just quit? Now, I don't smoke. I've been trying to start for years and I can't get into it. So for me to look at somebody who smokes and just say, just quit, sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? But if you smoke, if it was so easy, you might have just quit a long time ago. And whether it's smoking, maybe, and again, this difference in drinking and being an alcoholic, if you find a genuine alcoholic and look at them and say, you know what, looks like this is wrecking your life, and they see that, say, yeah, it's a problem. I say, why don't we just quit? Let's just quit. Well, if you're not an alcoholic, just quitting, it's pretty easy. But if you're an alcoholic, somebody's saying just quit, you're like, it's not that easy. And alcohol, if it is genuinely someone who's an alcoholic, I've talked to homeless people, been up in the woods with them at 6 a.m. The second they wake up, they're reaching for that bottle. It's beyond just alcoholism. If they don't drink that day, they will die. Now you're really in trouble. So to say to someone in that state of mind, just physically addicted to something where literally they will have such withdrawals, their system cannot operate without it. It takes time. They can't just quit. Maybe your deal is overeating. Well, we probably don't want to talk about that. somebody says, well, just quit. In any of these things, if it's not your deal, see, if you're one of these people that doesn't look like eating is your problem, I've spent time with anorexics, bulimics, people who struggle in these areas. If it's an anorexic person, sometimes it's pretty obvious if they're anorexic, but their problem is eating. And if there's someone that struggles with bulimia, they are eating and look pretty normal because they're just purging themselves. They throw up everything they eat almost, so you can't tell what's going on. And for you to say to them, well, just quit all this and, be happy, get on with your life, it's not that easy. And some of these things we can notice and see in people. Some of these things we can't. Maybe your deal is drugs. You'd be amazed how many people smoke pot. How many of you smoke pot? Raise your hand. See there. If that's your deal, you say, well, I don't have a problem with this. I don't want to quit. I don't need to quit until it becomes a problem. Maybe you don't. But when it does and you realize there's an issue and then somebody says, okay, we'll just quit, it's not that simple, is it? Now, it's easy for any of us to say to somebody else about their deal, just quit. But if I said, write down your deal, and I want you to think about this for a minute. What is it that if you had to say, okay, what is it I know, and maybe it's just a personal thing, and maybe it's beyond that, it's a God thing. That's something that God has been after us about for a long time. And if I said to you, just quit, you go, you know what, you're right, but I don't know how, I don't want to, I don't have the willpower to do that. We're going to talk about some of that today. I may have shared with you at some point along the way, for, I don't remember now, it must be for 30 something years, I bit my nails. And I cannot tell you, even as a kid, things that would happen, you know, the whole hide and go seek thing, hiding your hands, not wanting anybody to see your hands and covering up. And see, whatever your deal is, you're playing games too. If you're a smoker, man, you got aerosol hooked up to your air compressor in the car so it blows out the vents. You know, you got air freshener, you're putting stuff on you. Got a smoker down here laughing. You know, we have these elaborate schemes to cover up. I've known alcoholics who'll go out, you know, drink something in the car, come back. They reek of whatever it is they tried to put in there to overcome that alcohol. I mean, you know, you think they're addicted to mouthwash or something the way they come back smelling. But I had elaborate schemes of covering up, and you couldn't see my hands, and I'd stand like this with my hands under my arms, or, you know, write a certain way so you couldn't see my nails. Now, it took me a while, once I got some nails, to not hide all the time, to be, oh, I'm okay, I can leave my hands out. Now, someone could have come along, looked at my hands and said, you know what, why don't you just quit? And their trouble seemed that simple, but when you're involved in something, it's not that easy. Now, I'll just say from the start, if you struggle with something, and I know today may be a little personal because probably most of us have got something we've already identified that we struggle with and probably ought to quit. If you need to quit, you may not be able to just quit without some help. And ultimately, in my opinion, there's some stuff you are not going to quit without God's help, period. And in the case of my nails, the only thing that helped me stop biting my nails was not just prayer, but it was prayer and fasting. Because there was something that had to be broken, something inside of me. And I finally got to the place and I said, you know what, God, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to die this way. I don't want to play hide and go seek anymore. I got to quit this. How do I do it? I've proven for 30 something years I can't. I don't want to be an 80-year-old man with nubs, you know, or like down to the knuckles or whatever happens eventually. So I am a firm believer, and I'm standing here telling you, whatever your deal is, you say, well, biting your nails, well, that's no big deal. What are you talking about? You know what? If it's your nails, it's a big deal. And whatever your deal is out there you're sitting thinking about, if it's eating your lunch, it's a big deal. Or you wouldn't be sitting there thinking about it going, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me today? Let me read you some definitions for the word quit. Give up or retire from a position, turn away from, give up, go away or leave, put an end to a state or an activity, could mean to give up in the face of defeat or lacking hope, admit defeat. And it's interesting, you look at the etymology, the background of this word, it comes from words quitter, from Old French, from quit, which means free of, released, literally at rest, from Latin quietus, which means quiet and at rest. When you finally say, I quit, you just quit, you know what? There's some rest finally. And there are people in here and listening beyond here today who are living constant turmoil. Let's say your deal is internet porn and somebody finds out about that. And I say, you know what, guys, or men or women, just quit. And people come back on some of these addictions and say, you know what, I can quit anytime I want to. I just don't want to. I think it may be possible with a certain amount of just sheer willpower to quit certain things for a period of time, but without your heart being changed, without your mind being renewed, sooner or later, the willpower is going to run out and you're going to run back in or fill something else, fill the gap with something else. Because see, we all have stuff we do and we have a little list of reasons, if we thought about it, why we do it. Well, that makes me feel better. Now, smoking might kill you. And by the way, guys, if you don't have a relationship with God and no one's ever explained to you that why Jesus died and came and died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried, raised from the dead, you know, paid for our sin, did all these things, smoking's the least of your trouble. You're going to smoke forever, okay? You're in big trouble. Smoking is not your problem. I am talking to people today who are at a place in their life where the Holy Spirit himself has tapped you, whether it's smoking, whether you drink too much or at all, whether it's eating too much, whether it's smoking pot, whatever it is, wherever you are in the game, where the Holy Spirit taps you and says, you know what, this got to go now. And until you resolve this issue and obey him, you are a stick stuck in the mud from that day forward. Now, does everybody understand what I'm saying? God will not love me or love you any more or any less if we obey or disobey, but he tracks with us as he raises us as his children. He says, okay, here's the deal. You've obeyed me to this point, and I'm telling you no on this from now on. And you say, well, I'm telling you no about not doing it anymore. And he says, well, fine, this is where we stop. And you say, well, you know what? I can't figure out. Other people seem to be growing in their Christian life. They have joy. They have excitement. They're learning and growing and going on in the faith, and I'm stuck. Then go back where you said no. stop a minute and say, okay, God, where did I shut down? Where did you and I go at it face to face? And you said this, and I said, no, sir, and I'm stuck. And if you will go back to that and say, okay, God, did I disobey there? And I think you're going to hear a yes. Let's go back and work on that. And all of a sudden, the thing kicks back in. Now, if you are a Christian and you disobey on an issue where the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder, does it mean you're going to, you know, die and be separated from God forever in hell? No, it just means you're stuck in the mud and you're going nowhere. And you say, well, that's okay. I like where I am. You know what? It sucks there for the rest of your life. It's not a good place. Because you are stuck, you are treading water, you're acting like it's going on. You read your Bible and find, oh, God said that. He says, you know what, why do you want to know what that says? You won't even do what I told you 5 years ago. You want new revelation. Do something about the revelation you got. Well, but God understands. That's what grace is for, to cover that. No, grace is why he doesn't destroy you in the last 5 years for disobeying him every day. Now, people say, well, you know, this is not that big a deal. You know, I know what you're talking about. I know I got it in my head. The Holy Spirit's bringing this to my mind, but it's not that big a deal. Then why don't you have any joy? See, what you've done is taken the sin and substituted the joy that God provides in a relationship that works with him with the pleasure from the sin. And the reason you got to keep sinning and drinking more and smoking more and chasing more women or looking at more porn or whatever your deal is you've got to keep that false, that fabricated joy stirred up. Joy is something God just gives you and you have. Pleasure is something you got to go chase down. Put something in you. Joy comes from the inside out. Pleasure comes from the outside, and you try to fill something and keep filling it and keep filling it. You can't fill it. For some men, I mean, you say, well, my deal's not porn. Well, maybe you just lust after every woman that walks by that's got a body. You say, well, I'm not giving that up. I'm a man. Then kiss your joy goodbye, because it's gone. You have substituted the joy that God can give you with that pleasure and saying, you know what, God, I'll see you in heaven. My life is mine, and I'm having a good time. You know what's going to happen? I pray to God for you and for me that you will become miserable in your sin. And finally, you say, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to quit. 1 Corinthians, it's interesting this word is used in the Bible in the King James Version. If you go back and look, the etymology, as I'd said, of the word quit, it was used in Old English more than we use it this way today. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in the New King James Version, it says, verse 13 and 14, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And in the King James Version, the same verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And the word is andridzomai, and it literally is translated, quit you like men. It means to make a man of or make brave, to show oneself a man, to be brave. Just quit. Be a man. Specifically, I'll say this to men, to us as men, just quit. Be a man. Now, there's a lot of lies out there about being a man. You know, big boys don't cry. I think the biggest boys blubber myself. Real men cry. Real men have emotions, have heart, have feelings. It's when your heart gets hard because of sin or pride or just culture where we put these things on us. Be a man. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all things be done with charity or with love. Just quit. Grow up. Now, the flip side of it not being easy, or we say, we know somebody would just quit. Let me give you the flip side of it. Just quit. Let's not make excuses and say, well, it's just not that easy. You know what? Maybe it is just that easy. So what is your deal? And why do you not just quit? Now, I, again, am not the Holy Spirit. But whatever he is talking to you about, if it comes down to me obeying God, it's a big deal. Because it's my will versus his will. Now, see, some of you are just completely innocent looking, too, by the way. Some people that we know in this room and in your church and where you work, they just look like little angels and they have their quiet time. They do all the God things, and there can be as much evil and wickedness inside of them as anybody else. And I'll give you an example of how the margins narrow. I think when you start out as a believer, as it is in life as a child, the margins are very wide. What I tolerate in a 6-day-old baby, I will not tolerate in a 6-year-old girl. And God is the same way, and one of my favorite terrible examples of this is Moses. Moses did not get in the promised land for one reason. He hit a rock one too many times. God said to Moses, hit that rock, and Moses, frustrated, upset, whacked a rock twice, and God said, "You're out of line. You will not take him in the promised land." You say that's extreme. Moses had walked a long way with God, and he knew better. So you say, well, God's not squeezing me like that. The longer you walk with him, the more those margins are going to narrow, and God's going to say, you know what? You cannot get away with that. If you're a child as a Christian, if you're a baby Christian, there's a lot of leeway. But if you claim to know him and walk with him, he will squeeze you and expect something out of you. You will have to be responsible. And when you're not, the consequences drop a whole lot quicker. Now, if you never grow up, have at it. But he's going to come after you anyway. And the tragedy of this is we can all be born into the family of God and we can all grow up. It's just some of us don't. And we waste our whole life holding on maybe to one sin. And we get to heaven and God goes, you know, what were you thinking? You know, there's an old country song. What was I thinking? Not the new one now, but what were you thinking? Luke chapter 22. Jesus has done the Lord's Supper with the disciples. Verse 39 says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Now, are you willing to pray that? Am I willing to pray that? Whatever it is in my life, whatever it is I'm holding on to, stuck on, will not budge on, I'm telling you, God, what Jesus prayed, I'm willing to pray, not my will anymore, but your will be done. I will do your will. And the word here used for will is what one wishes or has determined shall be done, of the purpose of God to bless mankind through Christ, of what God wishes to be done by us, commands, precepts, will, choice, inclination, desire, pleasure. See, every day, every one of us exercise our will. We either exercise our will and yield it to God, or we say, you know what? Not your will, my will be done. You say, well, I never said that. All I got to do is follow you around all day and tell you what you said. You can find out what I said this morning by how I live my life today. If I get to the end of the day and I've done God's will today, at some point, I've yielded my will to his will. If all day I've done what I want to do, I took it back and basically said, God, not your will, my will be done. There's some great passages over in Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Now, what God does to each of us, I believe, is kind of like disciplining us. You say, well, I don't think there's a problem in my life. If there is, you'll know it, because God will discipline us, and he comes after us. And at some point, the pleasure from the sin is not greater than the pain from the discipline, and you say, I quit. And you say, well, it's not to that. I think I'm going to have some more fun. It's not going to be fun very much longer, because there's going to be consequence. There is going to be pain that comes with it. And the wisdom, the wise thing to do is to say, you know what, God, I get it. I don't want to go down this way anymore. There is a certain amount of pleasure. I wouldn't be doing this in the first place, but I don't want to live this way. I don't want to die this way. I don't want to die from this. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose my children. I don't want to lose my job. So I'm going to just quit. Jesus also said in John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Is it something that so consumes you to do the will of God that you say, it is literally my food. It is what fills me, feeds me. It's this hunger to do the will of God. In John 6:38, Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then I recommend, if you have some time, read Romans 6. Literally, the word dominion is used twice in here about sin having dominion over you. And the word means to be lord of, to rule, have dominion over, of things and forces, to exercise influence upon, to have power over. At some point, you don't have power over that thing in your life. It's got power over you. It becomes lord over you instead of Jesus being lord. And the only way to break something, an addiction or something being lord over you, is to make a greater lord lord over it. And make Jesus Lord over whatever that is in your life. Now, for the sake of time, let me jump down here and read you John 15. Let me start in verse 1 and go down to verse 5. Jesus said to them, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And people who say, I can do this, I can quit. Well, I got it under control. Let me tell you something. I got nothing under control. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. And the day you think you can, you're in big trouble. And let me ask you a few questions here. Is it God's will for you to quit blank? Fill in the blank. You got to start there. Is it the Holy Spirit, not me, not you on a guilt trip? God has gotten you to a place in your life and said, this is the issue today, right now. And maybe today he's taking you back 10 years, 20 years, 2 weeks and saying, you know what? I told you this back then. Let's go back there. Are you willing to pick up where we left off and obey that? And let's get that stick out of the mud and move on. So if you've decided that it is God's will for you to quit, the second question is, are you willing to quit? Because see, you're either willing or unwilling. There is no other answer. And I say, are you willing? You say, yeah, then quit. You say, well, no, I didn't mean it that way. Then you're not willing. Because you say, well, I'm willing, you can quit. Now, you may need some help. You may need some detox. You may need some rehab. You may need some prayer. You may need some accountability. You may need some medicine. You may need all kinds of things. But if you say, Father, not my will anymore, your will be done. I'm going to just quit this and I'm going to get some help to do it. I'm done. I get it. I hear you. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to live this way, die this way. I'm done. Now, let me give you the in-between if there is one. What if you say you're not willing? The guy that discipled me for years used to ask this question, are you willing to be made willing? You gotta give him something to work with. So maybe today all you say is, Father, I see the problem, and all I can tell you right now is, I am willing to be made willing. Go to work and give him something.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work. And that hundreds of millions of people have come and gone from this planet. Some win, some lose. Some meet you, some don't. Some choose life, some choose death. And each of us, Lord, have the opportunity and the privilege and the responsibility to do something with what we've heard, with what we know. And Father, I pray that it would be very clear in all of our hearts and in all of our minds and lives today that when you, Holy Spirit, identify something going on in our lives and we deliberately, premeditatively say no, that in the same way little kids get put in timeout or spanked with a spoon or worse things happen, Father, that there is consequence coming our way when we deliberately say no. And Father, for those who don't like the sound of no, but are saying, I don't know that I'm willing, but I'm willing to be made willing, may they just whisper that prayer to you today, Father. I am willing to be made willing. Help me, because I know what you're telling me is right, and it is for the best, it is for my good. And if I need help beyond just praying to you about this, Father, help me get that. But to do something about what is consuming my life, the life that you bought and paid for. And Father, for anybody today who the issue is not some addiction, some thing in their life, it's literally eternity. And you've knocked on their door and come calling on them over and over, and they say no, and they say no, and they refuse to yield their life to you. And may today be the day they maybe just say, God, I think I'm unwilling, but I'm willing to be made willing to trust you. And I pray that you'd help me see how much you love me and that Jesus did die on the cross, God and a man, died on that cross, shed his blood to pay for my sin. I have screwed up, God. I know that. And I need your forgiveness. And I'm just going to quit living life my way and start living it your way. Give me the power, the faith to trust you, to believe you, to take this step and yield my life to your life, my will to your will. and experience not just eternal life, but abundant life. Come live in me, come live through me. I accept the forgiveness of my sin. I receive the gift of eternal life. Change me, God, from the inside out. And may I every day, when approached by the Holy Spirit with these options to obey or disobey, may I choose, Lord, to obey. Thank you, God, for being so patient with us. And though the margins may squeeze in on us the longer we live, that your grace is mind-boggling. We never get what we deserve, Lord. Jesus got that. And we thank you and pray it in his name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.